Good morning. Today's scripture will be Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Then he saw them. He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9? Where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Hi, Fairview family. This is Britt. I'm going to be reading Psalms 116, 6 through 7, and Psalms 116, 12 through 14. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Oh, return my soul to your rest. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
The classic comedian George Burns once said, "The secret to a good sermon is to have a great opening, a great closing, and not much time in between." Well, beloved, I don't think that's happening today. Last Sunday, our church experienced the great tradition of communion. We did it a little different, virtually, with our elements on our bedside or desk or kitchen table. But the word for that event that we honor every month and share in many other Christian traditions with this was early called the Eucharist. That's what it was called, the Eucharist, which is from the Greek word Eucharisteo. So the earliest communion event in worship, the center of it, wasn't a supper, it wasn't called a sacrifice, it wasn't called a salvation, it was called a thanksgiving. And I think that term, Eucharist, attached to the elements of communion and the experience of it, may well go back to the incident you've heard today from Scripture. A time in Jesus' ministry, an event that is told only in the Gospel of Luke. And in it, one of the healed lepers returned to give thanks. In verse 16, where he does this, the word in the Greek original text is Eucharisteo, thanks. And that has become the central factor of Christian worship in life. And it's my contention that those who take the time and the effort, the commitment and the caring to present themselves before God in worship and church life, in reality in a sanctuary or virtually at home, in our heart, wherever it is, that those who do that faithfully are the ones like the leper, the 1 in 10, who are returning to give Eucharisteo, to say thanks. The beautiful things of this planet, color burst sunsets, a baby's giggle, and more, are mostly not even given thanks for. They're given by God to everyone, but 90% of the population, it would seem, just bop on, unresponsive, unappreciative to the giver of those good gifts. 10%, somewhere in that range, return for Eucharisteo. Thanks. It's dawned on me that the primary reason we come into worship and enter into the life of the church is to say thanks. Years ago, when Marty and I were on a vacation along the Northern California coast, we happened to be in San Luis Obispo, and it was Sunday morning. We woke up in our place to stay there, and Marty said, well, let's go find the First Baptist Church so we can go to church. And I said, church? I'm on vacation. She says, I really want to go to church. Later we did, and I asked her why, and she said, early on in my life, I kind of made an agreement between my Maker and myself that I would enjoy the blessings of life, knowing God is taking care of me one way or another, and in return, I will always be in church. And she's followed that all her life. And so the number one reason for going to church is not to get charged up, though I hope that happens. The number one reason to go to church is not to get entertained. That would be nice too. The number one reason is not to confront our sin and shortcomings, though that's important. Is not to meet wonderful people, although that's beautiful. The number one reason for entering into a sanctuary in reality or in virtue is to give thanks. And this is the narrow path that Jesus speaks of. Most go the broad path. 9 out of 10 bop along, unresponsive to the giver of the great gifts of life. But 1 out of 10 circle back to give thanks. Helen Keller, blind, deaf, an amazing person, wrote, I give thanks to God for my handicaps. Through them, I have found myself, my work, and my source. I love the story of Chief Dan George, who went on a camping trip with his father and on the reservation in Arizona. And he said whenever they did, he would be snuggled in his bed early in the morning, and his father would already be out of his bedroll, already dressed, standing looking at the east with arms out to the dawning sun, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sunday is the first day of the week, the dawn of every week, and here in worship, we rise, shine, and give God glory. We, as the old hymn says, stretch every nerve. We reach forth to our brothers and sisters. We are here to quietly express the feelings of our inward voice and to declare with hearts joined in joyful chorus, thank you, thank you, thank you. And for those who take it all for granted, who just saunter on in life oblivious, without worshipful thanksgiving, offered in God's house, it's not only rude to the divine giver, but Jesus gives a hint of what we know, that it means a much diminished life of enjoying those gifts, the 9 that go on their way. Because notice this, in the passage read today, in verse 19, Jesus says to the leper who comes back, your faith has made you well. And we ask, well, I thought they all got healed. They may have been all healed, but they weren't all well. He returned and gave thanks, and that's what made him well, whole, able to face the life and decisions that would still be tough for him, but each day with an attitude of gratitude, go on in life well. And then notice this. Guess who's coming and getting well? In verses 16 and 17, Jesus says that the one who returned, the Eucharisteo person, was a Samaritan, a foreigner, an alien, a religious enemy. The listeners figured that the 9 out of 10 who didn't return must have been those pagans and heretics out there. And we proper people are the one who returns to give thanks and are blessed in addition by Jesus. But Jesus turns the tables and stuns the audience when he says, the one who returned was a foreigner, an immigrant, a Taliban, a Wall Street banker, whoever you're most uncomfortable with. And Jesus is here suggesting that our community of the 10 percenters, the fellowship of the 1 out of 10 really becoming well, will be shockingly inclusive. And the person you sit next to or at the table of the Eucharist, maybe even the one who leads it, may not be the one you were expecting. Jesus, as he often does, shocks and surprises his audience. He turns the tables on religious attitudes. If you are a visitor, a newcomer to Fairview Community Church, it may surprise you that this church and the denominations that it represents turn the table on what we often see of Christianity via TV evangelists and megachurch fundamentalists. And in the spirit of Jesus, the surpriser, this church does not tell you to ignore your intelligence and dismiss science, but rather to understand with the best of academic community the advances of biology, geology, paleontology, and more. In the spirit of Jesus, the surpriser, this church does not exclude or demean those who are often told they are culturally outcast or sexually unfit or ethnically inferior or religiously suspect. Instead, here all are invited to God's table to give thanks on the same level. And in the spirit of Jesus, the surpriser, this church does not tell you to deny celebrating life with zest, but rather to play as well as pray, to party as well as proclaim the love of God. And in the spirit of Jesus, the surpriser, you'll find that this church is not all about how big it can be, but about how personal it can be. Not about how much money we can collect, but about how much service we can offer. Not about how it can use you as a soldier in a religious empire, but how everyone can learn to care for one another in sickness and health, in joy and sorrow, in best times and worst. This church, by entering into Eucharist Thanksgiving, is saying every week, we don't think we're better than anyone else, no more deserving, but we are so blessed. We are so thankful. We are pleasantly surprised by it all. And that's the great thing about faith-based giving. Life may not be what we expect. It may not go the way we thought it would go. It may not shake out the way we had planned. But Eucharist people say, PGA, praise God anyway. There's a story I love about a balloonist 150 years ago who took a trip in his flight machine across France. He had his whole itinerary planned very carefully. And so each day he'd start off in his hot air balloon in town A, aiming to touch down in town B. But the wind would blow him off course and he would end up in town C. And the next day the same. Planning town D, he ended up in E or F or somewhere else. And invariably, every time he landed, he said, I didn't know about this place. Had I known, I'd have planned to land here. So instead of living life in regret, each day was a pleasant surprise. Each day was a day he gave thanks. Each day is a day to say, praise God anyway. I guarantee that our lives will be more like that, more well, more whole, when we are one of the 10 percenters, circling back, faithfully gathering in our Sunday best, including pajamas these days, to offer thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen, and celebrate.